All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorcia. My guest is master teaching professional and Long Island legend, from Smithtown Landing, Michael Hebron. Michael, talk about your new book, The Modernizing Approaches to Learning. What needed modernizing?
The words. The subtitle is Exchanging 20th Century Teaching for 21st Century Learning. The core knowledge in subjects, including golf, is normally very reasonable and useful. But the way we share it with people, we didn't realize that some ways of sharing it, we're creating, everything's based on chemicals, and some words are the most powerful performance-enhancing drug available. The way we talk to ourselves, the way we talk to our children, the way we talk to our employees, each other, sets up a chemical reaction within the body, and some words and thoughts create chemicals that support learning, and some words and thoughts create chemicals that suppress learning. And this was obviously a new insight for me. How do we support meaningful learning? Take risks. Don't fix anything. Take emotions into consideration. Probably, I think it could be argued, our only responsibility as parents, as educators, as coaches, as employers, is to make people feel smart, you know, in a safe environment. When people feel smart and encouraged, you know, your self-confidence comes from others. A lot of amazing things happen because in a learning environment, you recognize inconsistency and unwanted outcomes are a tool to learn from, not to beat yourself up over. You also take past experiences into consideration in a learning environment, which I didn't recognize. I was first 20 years, I was always trying to fix things as opposed to accept them and go back to what you were trying to do. Actually, you're not putting. You're not driving your car. You're not swinging the golf club. Your memory is. Everything's based on the clues on how to move forward based on past experiences. And then we call it, you know, joining the art of teaching with the science of learning. So people I've spent time with all over the world, and last year and a half, that was pretty literal. I was invited to speak in Australia, India, Czechoslovakia, England, Ireland, throughout the United States and things, and the whole school system, the way businesses are being run, the way information is being shared is in a big paradigm shift right now. And paradigm shifts normally refer to something that's moving forward, where when you talk about learning, it's a paradigm shift backwards, back to how learning is just a survival skill, and shifting that backwards to the natural way we are allowed to learn things.
When you look at, you know, the way, or I say, through your lens and your perspective. So when we're watching the PGA yesterday and even the day before, and you know, Phil Mickelson had he struggled after Thursday. He goes right to the range. Tiger Woods struggles yesterday. He goes right to the range. He's got Sean Foley there. If Sean Foley's trying to put his golf club in certain positions, whatever the case, how do you interpret that with your new or this sort of change in philosophy?
Well, it's not my lens. It is a change in approach or philosophy for me. Learning environments wouldn't be doing that. Research says probably, first of all, when Michael Jordan walks into your life, it's a little bit easier to coach than when somebody without that kind of experience.
Sure.
I've always said that you know, people have congratulated me for some of the champions I've had the opportunity to work with, or even the kids, you know.
Well, I congratulate you for some of the stuff that you've done with me. I mean, wasn't easy.
And not to personalize this, but I could have said the same suggestions to somebody else and they not make progress. So it's always the student. It's not we don't hit on the tour. We're not hitting shots for them. We're not controlling our emotions. We're not dealing with the crowd. That's all part of the process. And to have outcome goals is not as valuable as process goals. Staying in the process of playing golf and accepting the outcome for what it is. You know, it's not a bad shot. It's a shot that either went left or right. It is what it is. So when I see coaches at tournaments, and the research says it's probably the last place you want to try and coach somebody when you're in the middle of a competition. It's not the ideal place, and perhaps they couldn't get together in other settings or whatever. But that's probably when the brain goes back to when somebody can do something, when the brain is asked to go back to some basic ideas, or fundamental stuff, it actually reverts, travels back to when you become a beginner again, and the whole. The whole deal. For me, I think one of the challenges for the golf, and this is my view, golf community, is promoting grip, stance, and posture as fundamentals. They are personal choices. Grip, stance, and posture, that you have to have your grip right, you have to have your stance right, you have to have your posture right before you can enjoy the game of golf, I think has hurt golf. The fundamentals of golf, somebody might say the fundamental of basketball is making a basket. No, that's the result.
Right.
The fundamental is to shoot the ball up. The fundamental of tennis is to get it over the net. The fundamental of golf is to swing the weight of the golf club. The rules are for the golf club, not the body. We didn't learn to use our body. We learned buttons, zippers, steering wheels, toothbrushes. And when you understand the golf club, the fundamental is where do you want the shaft, head, and face for the shot you're playing? And never think about how to do it, just realize, come up with a conception of what you want to do with that golf club, and you may have a wanted or an unwanted outcome, and you work backwards from that. You don't coach your body, you coach you coach what you want to do with the golf club. And coaching, you should, which I did a lot of at one time, I would manipulate golfers and things. That's out of context. They don't play with your hands on them. So you should train like what science would call in context. Most of these learning aids are out of context and are of very, very little value because you don't use them on the golf course. When you're training your golf game and the range is not a golf course, turn it into a golf course. You know, hit a drive and then kind of pick a hole and figure out where it would be on that hole and then make your next swing with that club, et cetera, et cetera. You know, play nine holes on the golf course. There's a great story about that with Tiger Woods. The last tournament that Tiger Woods played as an amateur, the last British Open he played in as an amateur, he was paired with a fellow named Dean Robertson, who was the most outstanding golfer. Coming out of Scotland at the time, and I've become friends with him. He's been to several of my clinics in Europe, and he's now a coach. And he said that it was a horrible day, weather-wise, and they were one of the early rounds out, typical Irish weather or Scottish weather. And after lunch, when he came out, Tiger was down the other end of the golf course, other end of the range, all by himself. And as he walked up with his agent said, they were both looking, and the golf ball was going all over the place. I mean, low and high and left and right and this, that. And the agent looked at Dean and said, oh, I don't know if this young man is going to make progress in golf. He said goodbye and went to a meeting, and Dean decided to stay there with him. And all they did was play with ball flight for the next 2 hours. Make it go left, make it go right, make it go high, make it go... They were playing golf.
Right.
And Dean didn't get the value. He said he didn't realize the value of that until about a year and a half later. He says, on the other end of the range, guys were down there with their cameras trying to make a perfect golf swing, which doesn't even exist. And the idea of having a consistent golf swing is one that I challenge greatly because you never have the same swing. You never have the same shot. Why would you want a consistent golf swing? You want a golf swing that's flexible and portable, one that can hit high, low, left, and right. So the whole training, I'm pretty good friends with Michael Thompson, who's having a good tournament this week. He's told me that when he's practicing, he thinks the people at the tour stop don't think he can play golf, because Michael's never hitting the same shot twice.
Right.
Yeah, he's playing golf.
Right, right.
Turn the range into golf. You know, if you have 5 minutes to putt before you go out, hit 5 minutes worth of different putts, 5 minutes worth of different customers, 5 minutes worth of different, you know, different problems to solve. You don't stand there and hit the same putt over and over again. You know, one of the papers I've read was about Shaquille O'Neal and foul shooting. And the suggestion from science was the foul shot in basketball is 15 feet from the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the suggestions was that he should practice from 14 feet and 16 feet and get the brain to recognize short and long, and then just in the game, just shoot from 15 feet. So if people are having trouble with 10-footers or 5-footers, whatever, you know, hit the ball short, hit it long, hit it short, hit it long, and then try to make the putt, because that's how the brain learns. It learns. The brain is a large committee. See, it is a large committee that's just about every member is talking at the same time. And it needs the information, what's hot, what's cold, what's left, what's right, to make a decision at that moment. The brain works on predictions. You walk up to a door, it predicts where to put your hand and how much strength to use, and most of the time we get it right. So when you're standing over the putt, you don't do anything consciously. The conscious brain hasn't been given anything important to do because it's never done anything. It's just there. Just stand there and relax. And if you've tossed a sweater on a chair or a table or a chair, it's the same as putting. It's this nice, smooth motion. It doesn't have any hit in it. It's just swinging. And that's the main focus in golf, is to swing the weight of the golf club. That's the fundamental. There's a lot of funky grips, postures, and stands. Snead aimed to the right. Treaty aimed to the left. Everybody on tour, there's 109 degrees difference in every grip when you put them all together, from A to Z. There's,
wow,
109 degrees different, based on somebody's physical talent, physical build, background. People that come out of West Texas hit the ball lower than people that come out of Long Island. West Texas is flat and windy. Long Island isn't. So the natural environment creates the ball flight that they want to learn.
It's fascinating. Michael, I can't thank you enough for being part of the program. I can't thank you enough for being part of my life, actually. You've done a lot for me as a player, as a person. The beauty of what you do is that it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a golfer. You don't have to be you just want to, if you're just somebody who's interested in learning, there's much to learn from you, from your books, from your from your talking engagements. Thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome. There'll be Modernizing Approaches to Learning just came out. It's available on Amazon in the Kindle copy, a paperback, and hardback. And this Sunday's New York Times book section, there's a big ad for it. And thank you so much for having me on your show. You're a big part of golf here on Long Island, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Michael. Enjoy your day.
Bye-bye.
Take care. That was Michael Hebron, Master Teaching Professional at Smithtown Landing. We're going to take one last break, and we'll wrap things up when we get back.